Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time. Father, now we pray that you will open your word to us, and may our great teacher be the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, and may he show us in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. Amen. Well, we're putting on bifocals for this series. We're purposely looking at Christ's post-resurrection ministry, that ministry that Jesus had on earth in the 40 days between what we usually call Easter Sunday, the day of his resurrection, until 40 days later when he ascended up into glory. And at this point, we're in the fifth Sunday of Christ's post-resurrection ministry. And we're dealing with truths that Christ would have taught from the Old Testament, which was, of course, the only scripture that the people had then, and he would have taught those things focused on himself. In Luke chapter 24, you have the pattern of what Christ's post-resurrection ministry would be. On that first Easter Sunday, Jesus opened up in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms all of the things concerning himself. And those truths would have been given for the distress of the disciples that was to come upon them, and we're making application of those truths to our present distress in the pandemic outbreak. Well, let's consider why you can make the parallel between the truths of the present distress that would have applied to the disciples and the truths of present distress that would apply to us. Number one, the disciples were approaching a whole new world. And whether we know it or not, once we get to this post-pandemic period, it's going to be a whole new world. For the disciples, it would be a time of dramatic change in their lives and in their ministry, and we're going to be facing some dramatic changes in our lives as well. And it would be a time of new and previously unexperienced difficulties and challenges. And I think, too, once we get done this pandemic period, we're going to be facing some new difficulties and new challenges as well. So what we've done so far, in the first three messages, we dealt with this rather awkward title, Hard and Happy Truths for Hard and Unhappy Times. And if we were going to use a still somewhat awkward title for messages 4 through 6, it would be Happy Truths for Unhappy Times. Remember, happy truths. When the angels announced the birth of Christ, they said, "We bring you good tidings of great news, which are meant to be to all of the people." That's what gospel means, good news. The gospel is not Greek stoicism. It's full of hope. Nor is it pagan Epicureanism. We eat and drink today, for tomorrow we die. It is a time of joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be to all the people. The gospel isn't about death. It's about life. And it's not about despair. It's about confidence, and confidence all the time. Those things, hope and joy and life and confidence, good news, are those the marks of your life? They ought to be in Christ. Well, we come now on this fifth Sunday of Christ's post-resurrection ministry to this happy truth for unhappy times. And here it is. As your days are, so your strength shall be. Literally, as your days, so your strength. And you read that in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, which is the blessing of Moses on many of the tribes of Israel. And this particular passage is found in verses 25 through 27, and it is Asher's blessing. Actually, it's verses 24 to 26 of Asher. He said, "Most blessed of sons be Asher. Let him be the favorite of his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your bars, your strength, shall be iron and bronze." And here's the promise: "As your days, so shall your strength be." Verses 24 and 25 of Deuteronomy 33, the blessing of Moses on the tribes of Israel, of which Asher was one. I want you now to come with me to hear how Christ would have opened up that chapter. Part of the Old Testament, in which are revealed things concerning himself. Well, verse 3 of Deuteronomy 33 speaks of the love God had for all of his people, and out of that love he poured out his blessing on the tribes of Israel. Jesus would have said, "My life and my ministry were the visible demonstration of that love. God is love. I am that love in the flesh, and in me all the blessings that God has promised will be poured out upon all flesh." The tribes. Jesus would have said all of those tribes point forward to himself as the fulfillment of them. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15, you have this interesting reference to Jesus and his family being brought out of Egypt. And the text says, "Out of Egypt I called my son." That's the language that God used of Israel. Why does he apply it to Jesus? Because Jesus is Israel embodied in one person. And if you think that through and the implications of it, you'll have an important key to understanding the Old Testament as it focuses on Jesus. But Jesus now is talking about the tribes as they refer to himself. Judah, the lion's whelp. Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The scepter and the ruler's staff to be given to Judah would in fact be given to Christ, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, and to me, that is to Jesus, shall be the tribute or the obedience of all the people. The great Judah is Jesus. Levi, the priesthood, a picture in the Old Testament of what would be fulfilled in and superseded in the Lord Jesus, who had a very special priesthood likened unto that unusual priest in the book of Genesis, Melchizedek. Benjamin. Can't you see Jesus in Benjamin? Benjamin, son of my right hand. Jesus is the son of the Father's right hand. Joseph, the great Savior, the great deliverer of God's people, fulfilled in the great Joseph Jesus, the fulfillment also of that statement that really is a description of the whole Bible. Joseph saying to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Can't you hear that spoken of the cross? "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Zebulun, the tribe that would offer sacrifices, those sacrifices that pointed in all of them to the Lord Jesus, the great sacrifice. Gad, that one who represented justice among the tribes, that one who would prefigure the just one who even now is made ruler over all the nations. Naphtali, that one who was full of the blessing of the Lord, clearly looked forward to the Lord Jesus, in whom all the blessings of God flow to all of the nations. And then Asher. Asher, the most favored of sons. "This," the Father said of Jesus, "is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Asher, whose foot would be dipped in oil, looks forward to that one, the Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 46, whose feet were anointed with oil by that one who had been forgiven much and loved much. And that one who even now has that abundance in heaven, he, the one who was anointed with oil above measure and with gladness, is the one who anoints his people with that blessing as well. Remember that all the blessings Jesus has, he shares willingly and joyfully with his people. Strength, bars like iron and bronze. John, Jesus would say, "As you will see me on the Isle of Patmos with legs like burnished bronze, remember, the blessing of Asher is in me." As you read the Old Testament, brothers and sisters and friends, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus as David Murray puts it so simply and well in his book, Jesus on Every Page, all in the Old Testament are the things concerning himself. Jesus, the one greater than Asher, of whom it would be said, as my days, so my strength. I want you to imagine Jesus illustrating this as he tells his disciples of his own life and lets you listen in. You are there. My upbringing, Jesus would say. I was kept from sin at every point. My manhood was equipped with the Holy Spirit in my youth. In my upbringing, as my days were, so was my strength. In my temptations, I was undergirded, I was strengthened, I was protected by the Holy Spirit who came upon me at my baptism when I was ordained to my unique ministry. In those days of temptation, so my strength was. In my labors, in my weariness, when I had no place to lay my head, in my times alone, when my times with crowds meant that I was pressed in and became exhausted. As my days were, so was my strength. In my sorrows, as I, the perfectly sympathetic and empathetic high priest, took into myself all the ugly horrors of what sin had brought into the world, represented very physically by leprosy and lameness and deafness and blindness and death. These were things that drained me. But at every point I was given strength according to the promise, as your days are, so your strength shall be. My persevering obedience always came by strength that came from above. As I faced the denials and the falsehoods and the slander and the mockery, I was sustained by supernatural strength day by day. As I began to drink the cup of the wrath of God in the place of others, I was strengthened according to the promise, as your days are, so your strength shall be. As I bore the cross, the assistance by Simon of Cyrene was a symbol of the assistance of the Spirit himself. In my agonies on the cross, supernatural agonies, I was upheld at every moment by supernatural strength. In my abandonment from the felt love of my Father, I was equipped to endure, fulfilling the promise, as my hours were, so my strength will be. I bore hell for my people, and yet I was given strength from heaven. All unto it is finished, in which I was strengthened by a strength that never for a moment failed me. When into your hands I commend my spirit, I added in myself what is the other meaning of the word strength in the promise given to Asher. For that word is also translated as rest. My strength given to me from heaven was transmuted into the rest of eternity. The blessing of Asher was perfectly fulfilled in me. As were my days, so was my strength. And as are my days forever, so is my rest. That was the happiest of truths for Jesus. Jesus is not selfish, though. He would add in speaking to his disciples, I share all of these with you, my followers, who are to proclaim and display my work in all the world. In your deeply felt weakness, you will be made strong day by day. Well, that was true of all of the apostles and of all of the disciples. But it's especially true in the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks about his unique post-resurrection ministry of Jesus. Paul was not with Jesus in those 40 days between the resurrection and his ascension. But Jesus had a very special post-resurrection ministry prepared for Paul. Let's listen in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, I must go on boasting, though there's nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, and of course this is Paul, was caught up to the third heaven. This is where his seminary training was. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, Paul, was caught up into paradise. That's heaven. That's glory. That's where Jesus is. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And he, Paul, heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, himself, I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Listen to the big post-resurrection ministry that Paul received in glory. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn, literally a torture stake, was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen to the promise given to Asher and fulfilled in Asher's great descendant, Jesus. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Which being translated is, as my days are, as my weakness is, so my strength shall be. Asher's blessing in Asher's Lord, Paul would say, is mine. And one day, that strength that is given to me day by day will be transformed into rest. Is Asher's Lord Jesus Christ your Lord? See, if he is, then exactly the same blessing is yours. Are you in Christ? Do you know what it is? As my days are, so my strength shall be. That's a blood-bought promise that is has a yes affixed to it and given to you. Days of duty, I get so tired. As your days are, so your strength shall be. Days of trial, is it ever going to end? As your days are, so your strength shall be. Days of temptation, I feel my utter, absolute weakness and helplessness. As your days are, so your strength shall be. Days of sickness, when I am completely drained. As your days are, so your strength shall be. Days of change, and I can't cope with any more change. As your days are, so your strength shall be. Days or a day of death. God will give me strength, and that will lead to rest when my soul is separated from my body. You see, brothers and sisters, to you in Christ, God will perfectly match your graces and your comforts that are gifts from him to your service and your suffering that are your callings from him. He did it with Christ, and he'll do it for you who are in Christ by grace through faith. Asher's blessing is yours and the one who's greater than Asher. I want to speak for just a moment to you who are not in Christ. If you have any Christianity at all, it's very formal. It's not vital. It's not a living relationship with Jesus, which is what Christian faith is. It's a marriage relationship to Jesus in which the believer and Jesus are even called one flesh in the Scriptures. You're not saved. You're still in the state of nature and sin and death. That works out in this way. You are your Lord. Jesus is not. Well, you may be strong now, but I assure you that one day, and that may be very soon, your strength is going to fail. You're growing older, whether you like it or not. Youth begins to drain away, and the strengths and the vigors and the energizing things that marked your earlier years, they're going to begin to grow dim. And you will come to die. And you'll have no strength left. The idol of yourself that you trust in now will begin to crumble, and there's no stopping it. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put you back together again. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, you're in the hands of the God who spoke to you as he speaks to you now. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you Asher's blessing, strength that becomes rest. And apart from your embracing that absolutely most magnificent of invitations from the God of lavish grace, your strength will utterly fail, and you will be in a place of no rest forever. And as Christ's representative, what's called a minister of the gospel, I call upon you, I plead with you, I beg of you, get Asher's blessing by surrendering to Asher's Lord, Jesus Christ, right now, and call him your Lord. And live for him in that way, and your surrender will be your greatest victory, I assure you, based on the sure promises of God. You'll be able to say, as my days are, so my strength shall be, as I walk together with the one who delivered me. To all of you, give your weary, heavy heart to Christ. His welcome sign is always on, and his business is the most essential business because it's the business of giving us rest. And that welcome sign is always on, and I assure you it is glowing brightly. As you give yourself to Christ, you will know in your own experience Asher's blessing as it was given by the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 40, he gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, because by the rich grace of the great Asher, his blessing is yours. As your days are, so your strength shall be. Let's pray together. Our Lord, work faith and repentance in us all. Turn us from waiting on ourselves to waiting on you. And remind us, our Lord, you don't promise strength for weeks or for months or for years. We wouldn't know what to do with that. We would hoard it and waste it. We're to wait upon you daily moment by moment. So may we know not only daily strength for daily need, but may we know at every moment that your grace that comes as strength is sufficient for us. We pray again for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, and this week we particularly bring before you our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and the northern part and now the central part, where militant forces of Islam have been slaughtering your people. O God, be merciful. Protect your people. Work with the government there and even beyond it to stop the bloodshed, especially of your people. In your mercy, remember the land of Nigeria, we pray. We ask for the nations. You tell us in the Psalms that the multitude of the isles are to be glad. They're to be glad in God. And so we pray for the islands, little ones we probably have never read of or even heard of, where there's nevertheless people and whole continents and the nations that compose those continents, especially where the gospel has not gone. Fulfill your promise that those nations will become Christ's and that they will glorify him. Turn them from their dead idols to serve you, the living and the true God, through God the Son, Jesus. We pray for our own nation. We pray for its leaders. We pray for all in authority over us, for police. We pray for firemen and firewomen, especially at this time of national distress. Grant them wisdom, we pray, as they make decisions, particularly regarding getting regions and states and ultimately our whole nation back to work. Our God, this is going to take the wisdom of Solomon in so many ways. Grant it to these, we pray. And for our first responders, for those who are in any way going on the front lines, assisting those with COVID-19 or with other illnesses, we ask our Lord that you would protect them and bless them. We pray especially for our own Dr. Megan Gaffey, as she works at the New York University Langone Medical Center. May she soon be able to return to a full schedule of surgeries. Continue to protect her, we pray, as you have been, and use her in that place, Dr. Gaffey, as a representative of the great physician, the Lord Jesus. We pray for our area, our God, Metropolitan New York, Southern Connecticut, Long Island, how we are in need of repentance, and we pray you will grant it, because you are the one who gives repentance. You are shaking this kingdom, which will not remain, that we might receive an eternal kingdom that cannot be shaken. O God, turn people from this shaken kingdom to the everlasting kingdom of Jesus that will never be shaken at all. O God, take what is temporary in people and replace it in their deepest hearts with those things that are eternal. And for us, for the ill, for the bereaved, for the unemployed, for the needy, for the fearful, for those, if there are some, who still remain lethargic, grant grace, our God, to wake us up, to take away our fears, to provide all of our needs, to give work so we can labor 6 days as you've called us to do, to bring comfort and to bring your healing mercies. And now we unite our hearts and our voices in the words the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.